time to get our seminar open and started. So, warm welcome. And dear participants, my name is Heidi Lane, and I'm a senior lecturer in Global and Sustainable Education in the University of Jyväskylä, and in this faculty, which is the Faculty of Education and Psychology. I have pleasure to welcome you all to the seminar. Traditionally, our vice rector, Anna-Lena Laakso, has been opening, but she's unfortunately traveling. So now you will have the pleasure to have the welcome from myself, from our SDG 4 team, Kara Ronai, who is sitting in the front, who has done really great preparation with the team of JYU United T-shirt. So any help that you need, you can ask from these our students who are wearing the T-shirts. And again, warm welcome on behalf of the faculty and the university to our participatory SDG 4 seminar. And the participatory means that we have these wonderful students making this seminar possible. So we have two English medium master's degree programs in this faculty. One is on educational sciences, and one is on a development education and international cooperation. And these students have always been really active. We always have pleasure also to have few students from the Finnish program, but this is part of the studies in the EDUMA and DEIKO. And we are really hoping that the message also will go, and there will be great learning and interaction between every one of you, wherever you come from. And we will soon, Kara has set up a little interactive thing to see where everybody's from, which universities, or however you want to say. So during the times of uncertainties, as we live at the moment, we are yet celebrating the 160 years of teacher education in Finland, which started in the University of Jyväskylä. So it's also good to start with some things that we can be grateful for, and we can be grateful that we can be here together, both people here in Ruusupuisto, and also warm welcome to the people online. Let us know if you don't hear us properly, and we try to be this, make this more interactive, whether you're here or in or online. So we can also be grateful for the fact that we have faculty behind us who is supporting. We have our Dean Anna-Maja Poikkeus, who is always very supportive over this seminar, and also bringing more global and sustainable education into the faculty. And we can be really grateful for our Chintu. Which is the Global Innovation Network for Teaching and Learning, funded by the Ministry for Education and Culture. We have, for the second year, a great support from the Chintu Helsinki team and from our own University of Jyväskylä Chintu team. So University of Helsinki coordinates collaboration between the African continent and China, and the University of Jyväskylä has the responsibility of coordinating the collaboration between Finland and the Indian universities and also educational organizations. So the whole aim of the Chintu is to build networks in research and learning between the universities and the educational organizations. And that's really in the heart of our SDG 4 seminar also, to come together and learn together. And this year we have the team Teacher Education 160 years, looking into the history where we are today, and then having also the eyes to the future. We have also our Chintu guests from Rwanda, China, and India here. So we have a great learning opportunities during this seminar. So I would now want to give the mic to Kara Ronai, who is our coordinator, who will extend the welcome.
Hello, thanks for being here. As Heidi said, my name is Cara, so please feel free to say hi. And if you need to ask me anything, I'm sure you've already received a million emails from me or from the SDG4 team. And for that, I'm very sorry. let me move on a little bit here and talk about something else that we just had the logo of, and you can see here as well, and online, and with the QR code online, you can access our website. Heidi and I, and others in the faculty, many others, and many collaborators from around the world, are working on something called GLOWSnet, which is short for Cultivating Change Through Global and Sustainable Education Network. And with this, we hope to bring together things in our faculty that we already had, like the SDG4 seminar related to global and sustainable education, and to create new collaborations and bring new ideas and different things together. So some of the things that we have, for example, are this seminar. It's like, what was it now? 10 years, more than 10 years that the seminar's been running. Yeah. And other things that we've been doing with GLOWSnet, which you can see on the website, are creating learning materials. So recorded lectures, resources, questions that can be used in teaching or for individual use. We also have a research group, which is critical approaches to education, sustainability, and international development. The Education for Emergencies Project, which you might hear more about from Heidi. Collaborative teaching, for example, we started last spring a course on anti-racism in education, which is co-taught between the University of Helsinki and the University of Jyväskylä. So these are some of the things that we've been trying to do with GLOWSnet. Maybe Heidi now will speak a little bit on Education for Emergencies.
Thank you. Yes. So for the second year, this SDG4 seminar has also been kind of the final seminar for the different phases of our Education for Emergencies research project. So we started 2 years ago. The first year we worked on defining Education for Emergencies, and that was related to the theme of the SDG4 seminar last year in 2022. And we collaborated with partners in India, China, South Africa, and Ghana, and with an intention to learn from others, from each other, about how do we define and how do we understand and what are the emergencies and crises that take place in the world. I will not talk about that because that was the theme of yesterday. I mean, not yesterday, last year. Then for the past year, we've worked on Education for Emergencies and thinking about the pedagogical principles, and I will come back to this later. And now for the 2024, we are going towards a climate change pedagogy, which we will do jointly with India and Ghana. And we are, and part of that also, we have the Jintul teams, both from Jyväskylä and Helsinki, supporting us, which is really much appreciated.
We're going to improvise and do this old school, you know, before we had Mentimeter. So I'm interested to hear, through show of hands or shouting out, who's from University of Jyväskylä? Surprise. University of Helsinki? Also a surprise, not. Do we have anyone, University of Oulu? Oh, do we have Stockholm University? Oh, what about University of Eastern Finland? Oh, welcome. Do we have anyone from YUMC here? Woohoo! Anyone from Aalborg Academy? Oh. What about maybe beyond the Finnish context? Anyone want to shout out?
National Institute of Education, Singapore. Achin Premji University, India. Yeah. Woo. And then the, What's the university?
University of Rwanda. Anyone else?
Any other universities, organizations, shout out.
Oh, maybe online we've got someone. If we have a look at the chat. Oh, okay. Oh, someone in the DACO program from the University of Yavaskula, but participating from Bangladesh. Okay, it doesn't get more global than that. But wherever you're from today and however you're joining us today, we warmly welcome you. So thank you for bearing with me during that exercise. Let's move on a little bit then. And just to remind you, if you haven't already figured it out, you would have received an invitation for HowSpace, which is the online platform that we're using for this seminar. Everybody can use this. It doesn't matter if you're here on campus or if you're online. And I won't show it to you right now, but just scan the QR code, go to the website link, and as you're already registered, you'll just need to enter your email address. If you do have any problems, please contact us, or you can go to the info desk, or you can ask one of the seminar assistants who are wearing the Be United t-shirts. So that's how we'll be sharing a lot of information today, including the schedule, the workshops. If you haven't pre-registered for a workshop this afternoon, we would invite you to do that too, so that we know who's going to which space. And we have some further information there as well about, for example, the University of Yuvascular and Yuvascular if you need to get around or anything like this.
The Beijing Normal University.
Sorry, what were you saying?
But one more university for our Chintil guest is the Beijing Normal University.
Yes. Another thing that I wanted to mention before Heidi introduces the theme of this year's conference in a little more detail is something that we've adapted from the University of Yuvascular's equity team, something you might be familiar with, something that you might have seen in different versions, and that's the idea of safer space rules. We have these because today we're going to have a lot of discussion, and I really encourage that discussion. But at the same time, we would invite you to reflect upon these, think about how they apply to you, and be mindful of them today. So the first thing I think is quite obvious, and that's actively listening to other people. So while giving your opinions and discussing, don't forget to listen as well, and to prioritize the voices of others who may be listening, particularly those who are affected themselves by discrimination. Engaging in discussions with an open mind is always important, and a willingness to learn. Let's avoid making assumptions about other people and their identities and what they might be saying and why they might be saying it, but let's instead disagree in respectful ways when we disagree. And let's use any information that we take from the seminar today also in respectful and mindful ways. When we use the ideas or the materials, that we always acknowledge other people and thank other people for their contributions as well. If you have any questions about these, feel free to ask the seminar assistants or me today, and you can find them on the HowSpace as well. Happy discussing. And now I think Heidi is going to talk a little bit about the history of Finnish teacher education at the University of Jyväskylä particularly.
Thank you. Thank you, Kara. Yeah, I was thinking that we might want to look a little bit back to the history and then also where we are today. And then also one point of this seminar is to also look to the future. And as we know, maybe I hope you know that the teacher education in Finland started from Jyväskylä. So it is really nice to be here in the University of Jyväskylä celebrating this today and tomorrow with you. So the first teacher education seminar was established by Uno Sungnaus in 1863. When it was established, it became a four-year seminar. It was educating both women and men with some criticism, but still educating both. What was interesting that these teachers in the seminar, they made a one-year study trip to the Central Europe to study the didactics of the subject they were going to teach. and then also looking into the study books, the learning material. So from early on, there was this idea that we learn from others and come together to learn like we have done today. And also Cygnus created already this image of a teaching as a calling. So in Finland, we have this strong sentiment and that teaching is a calling. And the teachers are someone who find the profession important and for the best of the children. So then going a little bit forward in time. So in the 1960s, there was this whole idea of starting to formulate the current basic education system in Finland so that we would have a free education for all, despite the background. And in 1968, it was kind of ready. The curriculum was ready, and then it started to spread from the northern Finland towards the south. And that also started the idea that the university, that the teacher education should be university based. So by 1974, the university, I mean, the teacher education was university-based. Of course, when we talk about teacher education, we need to be aware that it looks a little bit different for the history looks a little bit different for the early childhood education teachers, for the classroom teachers, for the secondary teachers, upper secondary teachers. But this is our kind of how the classroom teacher education also become a university-based, and in 1971, this university law confirmed this new direction. So starting kind of from the 1968 to but also beginning of the 70s, the basic education, how we have it today, was formulated. And with that also, the teacher education move to become a university-based. And in the 1960s, there was this Matti Koskeniemi, who kind of was describing his views as a didactically thinking and reflective teachers. And that was also to formulate the teaching as a kind of a profession so that the teachers would become professionals and also to raise this academic status. Of course, we have also, we can critique and have discussions that what does it mean that something has an academic status. And then we have this Finnish invention, the teacher's pedagogical thinking by Kansanen Pertti. So it's kind of a mixture of the didactical roots and the American curriculum theories, but it's a Finnish invention. So Kansanen saw that the aim of the teacher education is to educate student teachers to decide on the basis of the educational goals and aims. There's always a purpose behind the practice, and the action can be said to be purposive. So he was talking a lot about the kind of the decision and choices that teachers make when they plan that makes the teaching relevant. But then at the same time, also there's a lot of things that happen in a classroom that are sometimes intentional or unintentional. And also, you know, teachers do conscious and unconscious decision based on what happens also beyond the written lesson planning. We all know that we have these plans and then something goes wrong and then you have to improvise like we already proved this this morning. And according to him, also the pedagogical thinking may only be evaluated according to the curriculum criteria. Teachers interpret and convert the written curriculum through his or her pedagogical thinking to make it appropriate for teaching and learning. And nowadays, with our education system, we have the three levels of curriculum. So we have the national, and then we have the municipal, and then each school has also their own curriculum. So the teachers are also curriculum developers. So then going again forward in time, I was part of this Asian bank development project where we were kind of modeling Finnish education. And we were also interviewing Finnish teacher educators, teachers, and also student teachers in the university. So in teacher education, still based on the discussions with the teacher educators, they feel that the research-based master's degree is kind of the reason behind the success of Finnish education. We know there has been this, I mean, OECD and with, for example, PISA assessments, there has been this like educational race, which we will also have a panel discussion later today, which will provide really interesting and also luckily more critical insights also too, because it's always very difficult to talk about success of an education system, because education system is tied to the socio-cultural context of the countries and the societies. But this is something that is often referred to as a one of the successes of Finnish education is this the teacher education, university-based teacher education, master's degree level teacher education nowadays that we call as research-based master's degree program. So it means that how the teachers are taught in a university, that they learn to kind of reflect and argument, and also each teacher before they graduate, they have to do a little thesis, master's thesis research work. And the idea is that they gain these tools to evaluate their own work when they go to the field. And we have this idea also that when you graduate as a teacher that you're not ready, but then you continue your professional development like based on the needs of the teachers and the society around. So also the teacher educator, one of the interview teacher educator I mentioned is that teachers' work is like responding to the uncertainties. So it is important that the teachers are prepared like they are with this research-based idea of teacher education. But also there's a conversation nowadays about the in-service training, that because we have this idea of continuous in-service training, that the teachers get the tools during their teacher education to continue their professional development. There's not so set or structured system for the in-service training. So this is something that is nowadays discussed a lot. And then it kind of goes back to also to this pedagogical thinking of Kantanen, that during his idea that during the interactive teaching phases, teachers have to make decisions that are either based on a proceeding plan or are spontaneous. So all of you who have been in a classroom, no matter what age the children are, we know that sometimes, and not sometimes, that all the time something happens and the students and learners come up with different type of questions, and then we react to them as teachers in a different ways. So also we can think of a teaching as a profession, or we can think of teachers as professionals, in a sense, like the way how we do this research-based teacher education, it's also the idea of having teachers as professionals. So they have, in a sense, like agency and autonomy. These are very conflicted terms also, but the idea that they have the autonomy in terms of creating the school curriculum and then also do the planning for their own classroom learning. So in that sense, in Finland, the teachers are recognized in a sense as professionals and also qualified, highly qualified, because they have the master's degree from a university. And then also the idea behind this continuous professional development is this, that it fits to the sociocultural context of our country and the history of our teacher education, the long history in a sense. And the professional development is kind of based on the needs of both the system and the teachers. And now when there's a lot of discussion about the in-service teacher education. We also interviewed teachers, and some of the teachers actually, there's like more from the policymaker. We've also interviewed the policymakers. So the policymakers have more this idea that we need to have a more structured in-service training, but the teachers actually enjoy the fact that they have a freedom to choose. And then also some of the classroom teachers, they continue, for example, to become a subject teacher. They go back to the university and study, for example, history or psychology and then become a subject teacher for the secondary or upper secondary. So in that sense that they have this freedom to choose for themselves. In Finland, we have quite flat hierarchy system. So within a schools, there's not a hierarchy in between, so that we don't have lead teachers, or we have principal and then we have teachers in the school. So that is also something that sometimes teachers feel like they cannot climb up in their professional kind of career, but there are these ways of how they can do by deciding over their in-service training and they further teachers' professional development. And especially with the newest curriculum that became active in 2016, there has been this idea of developing the schools as professional learning communities. And this was something when we were interviewing teachers that the teachers were mentioning that this is actually a really great system because they felt, for example, that during when the COVID hit and they had to be able to all of a sudden teach online, that they gained more from peer support within the school than going to for example, ICT professional development course, because they said that sometimes the course context is beyond or is not relevant to them. But when they have peer support, when they have this mentor inside the school, that it helped them more on an everyday practicalities when they run into trouble or problem with the technology. And then one feature of the Finnish current teacher education is that the students are selected quite carefully. So we have way more applicants that we accept into the teacher education in all of the universities that are universities with the teacher education program. So they go through written examination, aptitude test, interviews before they are selected. So the teachers are carefully selected in the Finnish system. Sometimes we can question, you know, carefully selected. There has been also lately this discussion that a lot of our teachers are those who have done very well in school, but then when they have the whole world in their classrooms, that can they, in a sense, relate to the diverse learners in a classroom? And these are the things that I think it's very important to have discussions, thinking about the future of the teacher education. And I believe there's no right or wrong answers, but something that is good to discuss. So then we are now here today, and we know how the world looks around us. We also know that when we talk about the Finnish teacher education, we also have to kind of rethink what the Finnishness is, and then thinking about also different emergencies, crises, climate crisis, and conflicts that are going around in the world. They've always been going around in the world, so we need to also question, and Finland is not excluded from those, so we need to also question in a sense that, you know, has something gone wrong with the education when we are in this type of world today that we are, that instead of kind of balancing out and seeing the global imbalances, the powers are kind of a floating from one direction to another like a boat, so that we don't sink. What would need to happen with the education, both locally and globally, for the future? And teacher education has a really big role to play in this. And in Finland, especially at the moment, Finland education system is kind of, the roots are in the Nordic welfare model, with this idea of equality and democracy as a kind of core value of the system, the free access to education, to the health system. But especially for myself, because my research background is in intercultural anti-racism, social and cultural sustainability, I see the other side of the kind of the success story of the education also. And currently our government and the society is having very critical discussions about the equality and system for the justice. And therefore, this is a really critical moment, I think, for our teacher education. Can you raise up how many people here are from the Finnish teacher education? Wonderful, yeah. And not that it would be alone a responsibility. I think something that we, you know, Sungnö's time when the seminars were started, the teachers went to the Central Europe to study from the others. I think that's something that we've a little bit lost. We could go back also to the idea that we can learn from others. Especially nowadays with this type of world, locally and globally that we live, that to become more aware that the one system does not fit all. And I think one purpose of this whole seminar is that what can we learn from another? And that has also because, you know, there has also become, like, Finnish education has become kind of this a product of exporting. I think we have to be really critical because education is also very much socially constructed. So we need to be aware that one system doesn't fit all, and maybe the way how we've done it earlier in a different type of world, it doesn't fully already adjust to the current system. We have a kind of a strong and long history that we can base our education and teacher education, but there's a really need to critically look into the future, how we can include the different voices, histories, and narratives to teacher education. Because with this careful selection, we also don't see too much diversity in terms of, for example, visible diversities in teacher education. So, and then also thinking about, for example, hearing impairments and things like that, that how we can train teachers so that they are also better equipped with different type of diversities in their classroom. And I think what is something that we've been working at, these kind of pedagogical principles are from our Education for Emergencies phase two that we've been discussing and coming up with from the learnings from the others, that also we need to kind of reimagine the futures through education. So what type of futures do we want to create? What do we think that is possible? What are the possible barriers to create these futures that we would like to see? And then what are the steps that need to be taken to actually achieve the type of futures that we would like to create? And then how can we be more, or how can we become more aware of the global power imbalance and the global perspectives? And what is the role of, for example, Finnish teacher education in this, with our quite strong history and quality that has been achieved? And I think kind of moving from the didactics even more towards the critical pedagogy is one way that I personally see that Freire, for example, has some ideas, especially when we think about the pedagogy of oppress, that the idea you know, we can recognize, for example, the oppression, and we can accept it and think that, okay, you know, that's fair, that, you know, we've worked harder or some something like that, and not to do anything. And then we kind of see, I think, the results at the moment. And this includes the whole planetary system, not only us humans, but also that, you know, how we live with the whole planetary system around us. Or we can kind of recognize some things, and we can say that, you know, we cannot accept it, but we can be passive and think that, okay, you know, others will do the work. I don't accept this, but I don't also want to be actively making the change. Or then we can really be activist in a change and see and try to recognize, try to learn from others, try to listening and understand others, other humans and other species in this planetary system, and actively work towards changing the system. And I think that's something that, you know, with our strong foundation in didactics, there's nothing wrong of making sure that our children, we need the literacy skills, we need the math skills, but it's also concerning that if only the focus is on those outcomes of science and literacy and math, and at the same time we don't know how to create a peaceful world, because without peace in between the humans and the whole planetary system, we will not exist, and we can also, as humans, we can become distinct. So I think these are the really big challenges, and I don't want to leave you like with all these all these negative or depressing ideas, but more to think like, you know, how can we actively promote the change through education, because we all have our hearts devoted in education. Thank you so much. And now I think we have some time to have some comments from the audience, and I hope now that we can start the joint learning here. Also the online participants, please comment. Any thoughts, any comments? We have we have happy situation. We have 10 minutes before our keynote. Morning keynote start. Yeah.
You are the boss.
Hey, here. I'll pass my back.
Hi, thank you, Heidi. I'm Jiang Hong from National Institute of Education in Singapore, and thank you very much for your wonderful talk. And just now you mentioned that when we prepare teachers, we have to prepare them for the uncertainties, right? And then you mentioned that probably for in-service teachers, that might be problematic. We prepare, so there's a certain level of preparedness, but we prepare teachers for the unprepared uncertainties. So I'm very curious about this very delicate kind of thinking about preparedness for uncertainty in teaching situations. Could you please tell me more about how teacher education in Finland help teachers to get prepared for the uncertain situations in the classrooms? Thank you.
Thank you. I am not sure that we do it the best, so maybe also in the audience there are some insights, but the way how the Finnish teacher education is set, that the teachers, they have a lot of, they work together, they work in teams, there's a lot of reflection, argumentation, interaction, discussion during the studies. So there's less, and also I think with this idea of the pedagogical thinking, we of course do teach the content that are, and so the content knowledge of the subject that are taught in school, but also the focus is a lot of on the learning. How do the diverse learners learn in the classroom? We have also project with the students that they take on, for example, project, they think of a value, like central value that they want to make a change. And then we do it with the community around the university. So not all the teaching takes place in this building, but there is this interaction also with the community around us. But I think in terms of like how we could move forward is this, what I was mentioning earlier about the selection of the teacher candidates, that how can we, in that sense, diversify and bring diverse learners, more diverse learners in very many different sense of the diversity into the teacher education, so that already the conversations would bring different perspective. Also what Kara was talking about, the safe space, you know, the more we bring these critical topics into the discussion, it's not always easy. I think we cannot, in a sense, make change without having some conflict. So we need to think how we can kind of have these constructive conflicts so that the voices, for example, of minorities and those people who are discriminated can come out, so that we can build this understanding how people are situated in the society and how we can actually, you know, what should be done so that we can, in a sense, balance the power imbalance. It's not an easy question to answer, and I would open the floor for the audience. It's very interesting, a very important question, but I don't have the golden answer for that. Thank you. Thank you for the very important question. Anybody who wants to answer this, help me answering this question. Olli-Pekka, do you look like...
No, I don't know. So the question was that how do we propose?
Okay, so if I understood correctly, the question was kind of like, how do we prepare future teachers for things that cannot unpredictable situation and surprising situations. And then, so I'm Olli-Pekka from the University of Helsinki. Nice to see you, everyone. And then I may not have answer to that question, but probably the sort of the part of the studies or the component of the studies where that unpredictability is like the most tangible is the teaching practicum when students go and actually practice in schools, and particularly in the final practicum, the students are usually expected to take full responsibility of teaching the class at least for a certain time. So I think that's one way to prepare, to take them to real life situations, and then support them enough so that the experience is positive, but not too much, so that they feel that they have accomplished something. And then now just a personal example that how we are trying to do this. I have a small hobby project where we are now sending Finnish teacher education students from Helsinki and Eastern Finland to do their teaching practicum in Malaysia together with Southeast Asian student teachers. And then what I expect is that there will be a lot of surprises, a lot of kind of cultural conflicts, some school practices that feel ridiculous from the student perspective. But I also know, or at least wish, it will be a great learning experience for those students. So at least a humble effort to create this kind of situations during the studies when the students need to face the unpredictability of the real life.
So may I continue? Okay, I'm Juha Hautanen from JAMK University of Applied Science, and they're from the School of Teacher Education. And in fact, you were in your introduction, you were telling about the pedagogical thinking, and you mentioned that it's not about how to practice these normal problems or normal teaching methods at school. I know that at least for you who are their teacher students, you are you are thinking how in heck I am able to manage in classroom in the teaching mathematics or reading or writing problems. But anyway, you mentioned about that we are teaching the teachers, or according to the pedagogical thinking, it is about improving thinking skills, how we are reflecting things, and how we are able to manage in those difficult situations. And I think that, well, we have to think that we have a different kind problems. We have a simple problems where we know that there is causality, that when we do this, we will have that. Or we have a little bit more complicated problems, so there is several solutions, and we have to decide what we are going to do. But there is always complex problems where is not right answers. And I think that as teachers, we are very often in the situation of complex problems or complex situations. Of course, there can be always chaotic problems as well, where it's only ways to try to do something at least. But start to think and try to reflect what we could do and do something.
Heidi, in connection to what Olli-Pekka said on your presentation, I think it's a problematic to speak about or to talk about teacher preparation, which is a kind of top-down deriving from policy. It's a term deriving from policy coming from the state, especially from the UK and from Australia. But we should be talking instead about teacher education, which means that how do we prepare teachers? How confident do teachers feel to go into the classroom and to be these professionals that we want them to be, the reflective professionals, the ones who base their practice on research, etc. So rather than talking about teacher preparation, we should be talking about teacher education, because teachers will never be prepared, really.
Yeah, thank you for this comment. And that's kind of the heart of what I was saying about the teaching as a profession. So in a sense, like if it's a profession, then, you know, you're prepared and you're trained like to do certain things. And that's not the way how the Finnish education is set up from the heart of it and kind of this pedagogical thinking. But it's to educate teachers to become professionals so that they have this kind of a pedagogical mind to make these decisions. And that's also something that I think in Finnish education, that's the reason why we call Finnish teacher education as teacher education and not teacher training, or that it is something that prepares teachers for a profession, but the education prepares teachers as professionals. So that is, so that's very important.
Yes, thank you. My name is Satya Zen. I'm from Tampere University. In the previous, prior to my study, I was working in a post-conflict and post-disaster context. So I know something about unpredictability. And I think one of the things that, the one quality that I think that probably is needed for teachers in the field is resilient. And this resiliency is also maybe accompanied by a type of agility. So we need to be able to flexibly responding and, but also not losing our footings in the process. So based on this experience, I think there is also the need for resiliency included in the system, in the profession. So then I think this is something that even in my research, it is something that is also a bit of not visible. It is there, and we've been experiencing things that force us to be resilient in the process, but I think it is needed to be included in the preparation in that sense. Thank you.
Thank you. That's a really important comment. And this was also something that I was looking in my PhD and kind of like, you know, how do you prepare teachers for that? Because it's easy to prepare them in terms of, for example, content knowledge, but it's more difficult to prepare them for this type of of resilience, and I always think about the kind of wisdom that, you know, what type of, you know, how do we understand wisdom? And Patricia Hill Collins talks about wisdom as like bodily experiences, and, you know, how it would be, and that's kind of how I concluded in my PhD also, that, you know, how do we provide this experience for the teachers that something like really comes to their skin so that they can relate to the to these learners who, for example, come from the conflict zones. And that's not something that, you know, we need to think for the future. That's very today in Finland, because we have children from the conflict areas in our schools. Then we have children from different sides of the conflict in the same classroom. So, you know, how do we manage all of that? And how do we prepare the teachers in teacher education? These are really important questions and really difficult questions to answer. Thank you very much. Very important comment also.
Hello.
Hello.
My name, I'm there. Yes. Barthélemy Bizimana from the University of Rwanda. I would like to add something from my colleague who talked about something related to thinking autonomy. I would suggest that we prepare teachers for this critical thinking autonomy, where they are able to think creatively, independently, with autonomy to create themselves the future. But beside that, we shouldn't remain individualistic, but help them to connect to other people, to the universe, to the surrounding, okay? So that whatever is arising, they are aware of it, combining their thinking autonomy and the connectivity to the world around, understanding also their own context and develop personal moral autonomy to make choices that are based on values from their personal context.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah. And I think in relation to the others. Yeah.
I think, yeah, this is now the final question we got.
Yeah. I'm Veronica Navas from University of Helsinki, and I want to respond to that earlier comment about the importance of community, that if we are, like, there has been emphasized kind of like the how we educate teachers who can reflect, that the reflection doesn't happen only in the teacher's own head, but in the community. So we need to pay more attention on what kind of teacher and school communities we build, what kind of atmosphere there is, and how can we improve the communication and general reflection among teachers, between principals and other schools, since, Finnish teacher, I have experienced many times that there's not enough time for that. And that's something that we really need to put more emphasis on.
Yes, this is a very good ending. Yeah, this the time, like, you know, where do we need to hurry with the education? I think that's also interesting, because it's always year after year we have this struggle with the time. I think now it is time to move to our keynote. Is somebody coming to said Fred here?